Welcome back to the Big Show in the Morning. We are into hour number three. Yesterday, the first Sunday of the NFL season, boy, was it a doozy. Hope it went well as far as your bets, your fantasy, and just your favorite team. I hope they won too. Mine didn't, but that's fine. We move on. Tough loss. My name is Matt Rose. He is Danny Austin. Thanks for joining the show today. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to give you a proper Monday Night Football preview. First, checking out the Denver Broncos beat from the Denver Post. Ryan O'Halloran joins us now. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. Good to join us this morning.
Thank you for taking some time. We really do appreciate it. Wow, this is a big game, a big one for Monday Night Football, the return of Danger Russ to Seattle. I guess my question for you, how long did it take for Russ to really kind of put his identity on this Denver Broncos team? Because he feels like a little bit of an enigma in just the way he carries himself, and that kind of projects onto the teammates around him.
Yeah, I think it took about 2 minutes. he had his introductory press conference, and receivers were in attendance, so they set up a throwing camp in San Diego the next week. So, he jumped in with both feet, which is his MO. He only knows one way to do it, and that's 100% speed. So I think the locker room has rallied around him, and really the locker room should rally around him. This team hasn't made the playoffs in six straight years. They only have one player left from their Super Bowl team in 2015. That's kicker Brandon McManus. So what you haven't been doing is winning. So see if you want to listen to a guy who has won lately.
The injury to Tim Patrick is a tough one, but still, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy make up a pretty good tandem at receiver. Javonte Williams in for a sophomore season, along with the veteran Melvin Gordon. Do you like the weapons around Russ?
Probably a little overrated, specifically at receiver. Jerry Jeudy had no touchdowns last year, first-round pick. How does that happen? the cop-out's going to be, well, he had no quarterback. Well, this is still a get open, they'll throw it to your league. So I think this is a big year for Jeudy. It has to be a big year. Where the Broncos should feel confident is Javonte Williams. I think he's going to be spectacular this year. His numbers may not suggest it because he's going to be giving up a lot of carries to Melvin Gordon because that's what they're committed to. But I think Williams starts tonight. I think he'll have a big impact. And then Sutton, somebody's got to replace that red zone production by Tim Patrick. I think Sutton would be the number one guy to do that.
How about Albert O? Where do you see him fitting into this offense?
Tough to say. Wilson has not had a lot of involvement with tight ends in his career, aside from the Jimmy Graham years. Albert nursing a little something during the week, but returned to practice. There's no question he can be a mismatch guy on the outside. That's how I would use him. One thing I may look for tonight is a lot of two tight end personnel. So you can use Albert as a pseudo receiver, and then use Saubert or Tomlinson as your traditional three-point tight end. Use them in pass protection.
Now, with the two tight ends, is that just because maybe there's a little bit of questions on the offensive line? I know Billy Turner listed as questionable for this one. How are you looking at the protection for Russ? Because that was always an issue in Seattle. He was always running for his life.
Yeah, I think it could be leaky. Left tackle Garrett Bowles got to be better this year. You mentioned Billy Turner. His legend has grown in Denver despite him not playing. They think he is God's gift to right tackles in this coaching staff. He hasn't practiced once in teamwork that we've seen. They've listed him as limited. So I think they're going to have to be able to give their right tackle some help tonight. But also I think the two tight end is a product of their mission statement is they want to run to set up the play action. And the best way to run it, throw an extra big body on the field.
Defensively, I'm seeing that Alex Singleton will be playing or will be starting at linebacker. He's a guy we know pretty well in Calgary because he played in the CFL with the Stampeders here for a couple of years. Are they okay with him starting tonight?
It is a downgrade from Josie Jewell, who is a starter. The key for Singleton is he's going to be wearing the helmet communication tonight, so he'll receive the play call. So he's going from backup to defensive quarterback in a span of 3 days, but he's a veteran guy. He's been in a lot of different systems. I think that part will be fine. Problem is, can these inside linebackers, can they stop the run? In the base personnel, Jonas Griffith, the other starter, he missed a month with a dislocated elbow. He just returned to practice the other day. So if I'm Seattle, I want to try and keep the Broncos in their base personnel, keep those both those inside linebackers on the field.
Also wanted to ask, just when you're talking about kind of the defense for this Broncos team, what is something that they've maybe been talking about throughout the practice week as far as keys to stopping the Seattle offense? Obviously, a new-looking Seattle offense this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could ask these coaches this week what day it was, and they weren't going to tell you. I mean, they're just so paranoid. But, okay, who covers Metcalf? Do they have Surtain travel with them? Who covers Lockett? Is that going to be K'Wan Williams in the slot, their new nickel? So I think how they use Surtain is the biggest subplot tonight. You know, traditionally coaches play right and left sides, but, you know, you have I think an elite corner here. I would consider putting him on Metcalf in certain situations. You know, to me, the question is Randy Gregory. You know, he was with the shoulder throughout training camp, had that offseason surgery. You know, he didn't play at all in the preseason, didn't really take any team reps in training camp. So is he on a pitch count? What kind of impact does he have tonight on the edge?
Also, just wanted to ask, when it comes to some of the injuries, is there anybody that we haven't brought up today that you're kind of paying attention to as far as what their availability will be for either the start of the game or the entirety of a game?
Yeah, I'll mention Gregory and Turner just because we haven't seen them out there. Yeah. And they were listed as limited this week. And, you know, with an outside linebacker like Gregory, you know, they don't play the whole game anyways. Mm-hmm. So if you go into the game saying you're going to play half the snaps, that would be a positive step. Right tackle is a different story. Is it going to be Billy Turner? If it is, can he go the distance? Or does Calvin Anderson have to come in? So those are the two main injury concerns for the Broncos tonight.
This is an interesting division to be fighting in. How are you feeling about the Broncos' chances this season overall? Is the last one to leave you with here, Ryan?
Yeah, I think Chiefs, I mean, I would have said this 48 hours ago. I think the division is the Chiefs to lose. I stand by that because I'm not a complete moron. I mean, they just handled Arizona yesterday. I think the Chargers beating the Raiders was a good sign for L.A. that they had moved on and maybe can finish some games now. And then I had the Broncos slotted third and Las Vegas fourth.
Ryan, really appreciate the time today. I know it's just a quick chat, but we appreciate you jumping on just to set this one up. It's going to be a fun tilt tonight. I think a lot of people are excited to see what Russ Wilson does in a jersey that's not blue and green. It's going to be a nice little change. So appreciate the time today.
All right, take care, fellas. Thank you now.
There you go. That's Ryan O'Halloran, joined us from the Denver Post. He is the Denver Broncos beat writer. And Russ Wilson flipping over, going to Seattle. This holds a lot of intrigue as we get set for this NFL season. It was one offseason where we saw a lot of quarterbacks move. Carson Wentz goes to the Commanders. He had a really nice debut. Deshaun Watson, now with the Browns. Obviously, we're not going to see how that goes. We had Baker Mayfield in Carolina. Average kind of debut. Mm-hmm. Didn't get the win, but I thought that, you know, when you look at his stat line, ended up with a moderate number when it was all said and done. Matt Ryan, not with Atlanta, is very strange to see him behind that line for Indianapolis. Has been quite something to keep an eye on. 6:15. That's when this one's going to go tonight. We're not going to have this one on the station. We're going to be carrying the Blue Jays game this evening. So now we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline once again, because we're doing these little double headers in the 8 o'clock hour on Mondays because we chat with the Broncos beat writer, and then we go down to talk about the Seattle Seahawks. And from the Seattle Times, Bob Condotta joins us. Good morning, Bob. How are you doing? Thanks for taking some time today.
Good, yeah. Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing very good. We're excited for this game tonight. It's the return of Russell Wilson. What's the vibe around Seattle right now?
Well, people are really excited about the Mariners, so that's kind of the vibe, probably. People are eager to see how this is going to turn out, for sure. And having Russell week one really adds a different element to the season of the first season without him in a decade, and they'll get right off the bat. They're going to find out what they look like without him, and they're going to find out what the Broncos look like with him, and it's definitely going to be fun.
Is it? I mean, he's such a franchise icon, and this is obviously such a huge story. Is there a sense that it's kind of nice to get it out of the way right off the bat and kind of move on?
From the team standpoint, there for sure is. Fans, I think, would be excited about it whenever it happened. But I think definitely from the team standpoint, yeah. I mean, I think Pete Carroll was done talking about Russell Wilson, and I think he's really glad that they can get this game up, have this be week one and get it done with, and then just kind of move on completely from that. And everybody in the organization for sure, I think, is that way.
What do you think the reception's going to be for Russell tonight?
That'll be interesting to see. What's interesting is, football's not baseball, where they announce your name and you come walk to the bat, and they know specifically, they have a specific opportunity to boo you, or football where you go to the free throw line or something and they can specifically boo you. They always boo the opposing quarterback here. And that was kind of what Pete Carroll was saying. I mean, everybody does, right? I mean, this is what you do. when their defense is on the field, you're yelling and screaming as loud as you can to try to unnerve the offense. So I think there'll be a lot of that for sure. I think if the fans who were there an hour beforehand when Russell takes the field for his pregame warm-ups or whatever, I would imagine it'd be kind of mixed. I think there's some kind of mixed feelings about Russell right now. I think everybody's appreciative of what he did during his 10 years with the team. And he's the best quarterback in franchise history, probably the most important player they've ever had. But I think there's some people who got weary of the drama the last couple of years and do sort of feel like he forced his way out of town. And I think there's some people who are sort of bitter about that.
And I would argue that the way that it's kind of looking at quarterback now certainly maybe doesn't help. Geno Smith and Drew Lock, the quarterback room for the Seahawks. How did that battle go throughout training camp that's leading to Smith getting the start here?
Yeah, well, it never really was much of a battle. They put Smith atop the depth chart for reasons that made sense, obviously, right? When the offseason training program started and training camp started and all of that, because he'd been here for this is his fourth year, second year in the program, or second year working with offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. So they sort of felt like he had the edge in all those kind of ways. They wanted Drew Lock to start the second preseason game, and he was going to start all the practices that week, running the number one offense and stuff like that. Then he got COVID and couldn't play, and it apparently impacted him quite a bit. He talked about that, but it hit him pretty hard. So then by the time the third preseason game rolled around, was kind of back starting, and they named him the starter after that. So there never really was much of a back and forth there at all, but. I think it's, I don't think this is something that's written in stone. I think they like Geno's experience and everything for starting the season. And I think they feel like he's the guy who's going to make fewer mistakes. But I think if they're not moving the ball, if they're not winning games, I think they'll give Drew Lock a shot at some point this season.
He does have a couple of nice weapons in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. You'd be almost hard pressed to find a better 1-2 tandem around the league.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, they better be. The Seahawks are paying each of those guys a lot of money. For all the talk that the Seahawks never did anything for Russell Wilson, they're paying two receivers an awful lot of money. We didn't see much of those guys at all in the preseason, which is how it works. Nobody really plays their starters anymore in the preseason. So exactly how, some of the tweaks they might have to the offense to try to get those guys involved a little bit more or in some different ways with, as the quarterback, will be interesting to see. A lot of people talk about maybe they'll be able to, use the middle of the field more and some things like that, that people always thought they didn't do as much with Russell. It'll be interesting to see how it works that way. The DK Metcalf had a couple of big plays working with Geno last year, had the 84-yard touchdown against the Saints. His numbers were pretty good in the three games that Geno had to start last year. So that part will be interesting too, to see if maybe they can kind of pick up that connection where it left off.
Russell Wilson was always kind of running for his life with that offensive line. At times he was. How does the O-line look this year?
Well, and that's another thing. It'll be interesting to see how that works with Denver, because there's also the people who feel like Russell wanted to run for his life, right? That was his game, was running. So he liked making big, he liked holding onto the ball as long as he could and trying to use that to make big plays. And was that solely a function of the line, or was a lot of that just Russell and the way he liked to play? It'll be interesting to see how that goes in Denver, and if he's doing a lot of the, if he's doing a lot of that. Maybe you saw, but they spent two high picks on their tackles, and so they've got a brand new left tackle in Charles Foss and a brand new right tackle in Abraham Lucas. Cross taken in the first round with one of the picks they got for Russell, and Lucas taken in the third round, and they're really excited about those guys. Again, preseason is really, really hard to judge because most teams aren't playing any of their starters anymore. Those guys did play a lot in the preseason since they're rookies, but they were mostly going up against, a lot of guys who aren't in the league anymore. So, this will be a much fairer judge tonight of exactly where those guys are when they're going against guys like Grady Gregory and Bradley Chubb and, some of the pass rushers that Denver has. And I think everyone's going to need to not judge them too fast, probably because, first games and Charles Cross is only 21 years old. There's going to be some learning curve moments, but, in general, they're really excited about those guys and feel like they've sort of got anchors for the offensive line for a long time to come. And, then they got veterans. They got veterans everywhere else. Gabe Jackson, Damian Lewis is their guards, and mm-hmm. Austin White, who they signed from the Rams. He was the Rams starter in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So they feel pretty good about that. They feel pretty good about the interior of their line. And we'll see how it comes together tonight.
On the defense, what are we kind of looking at here? This is the group that's trying to slow down Russell Wilson. Who are going to be some of the keys this evening as they try and stop the former quarterback?
Yeah, well, that's going to be fun to watch, too, is first thing for the defensive coordinator, Clint Hurt, and a lot of things he's trying to change with the defense, going to more of a 3-4, probably going to use a lot more 3 safety looks. A different look at linebacker, obviously without Bobby Wagner there anymore, but, it's kind of tweaking what they're doing with the linebackers as well. In a 3-4, you don't necessarily have a true middle linebacker, the way they did with Bobby all those years, where he's, literally right in the middle. You sort of have two guys maybe flanking it a little more. So it will be really interesting to see that. They didn't show any of that in the preseason. If you went to a Seahawks practice and then you saw them in the preseason, you realize that they didn't show any of this stuff. They want to be differently on defense this year in the preseason game. So, it'll be interesting to see all that. I think the real interesting thing to watch is Jamal Adams and what they're going to do with him. I think they're going to try to use him more in being a de facto linebacker and getting him closer to the line of scrimmage. Maybe he's even going to be kind of a spy on Russell Wilson or something like that tonight, kind of watching him around and trying to pressure him a lot and things like that. So, we'll see. They made a lot of investments in the defense this year with some of the draft picks they made, some of the free agents they signed, and Shelby Harris, they acquired a really underrated piece probably of the Russell Wilson trade, but Shelby Harris is probably Denver's best defensive lineman last year. Seahawks are going to throw him out there. He's going to be a defensive end for them now. A lot of new pieces and a lot of new ways that they're going to do some things on defense. So it will be interesting to see how that all starts to come together.
Last one here for you, Bob. Just a thought on Pete Carroll, 70 years old. I would bet that he was probably looking as spry as ever over a training camp.
Yeah, he actually turned 71 here in 4 days, I think. So, you wouldn't really know it watching him. He's had that ability to kind of look, eternally youthful. We'll see. Yeah, this is going to be a big challenge for him. He has a contract that goes through 2025, so I know everybody's wondering, well, if the bottom falls out, is this going to be it for Pete or whatever? I think the bottom would really, really, really have to fall out. I don't think just a losing season or something like that would do it, because I think with the draft picks they have next year, the quarterbacks coming out of the draft, I think this is a little bit of a two-year process to try to get this back on track. And with a lot of the things they did this year, I think they feel like they're better on the line, they're going to be better on defense, and who knows how the quarterback situation will look this year, but then, maybe this year is like it was in 2010 or 11, where you build around it and then you find a quarterback and that could take off. And so maybe that's what happens next year. So, I think Pete's pretty excited about the challenge and seeing if they can kind of replicate the success they had a decade ago.
Thanks for the time today, Bob. It's been a great chat. Now we feel like we're really set for this game this evening, and looking forward to the return of Russ Wilson to Seattle. This is going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy the day, enjoy the game, and we'll chat soon.
Okay. All right. Thanks for you guys.
There you go. That's Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times. So now you're set. Sunday nighter or Monday nighter, 6:15. Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos go into Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Looking forward to it.
What a way to end the opening weekend of the NFL season. I love it. Honestly, I love it. I'm not going to say that necessarily I have any expectation of Seattle giving them a game, but it would be a lot of fun for that fan base to, you know, make life hard on Russell Wilson. For
Broncos are a 7-point favorite. Duma, how are we feeling about that?
Broncos taking the 7 into Lumen, a loud Lumen field that's going to be pretty feisty to start. I do like Denver covering that 7. I think in the end, Denver's going to – they're the better team. Like, in the end, they just got more talent. They've got the future Hall of Famer at quarterback. They'll find a way to get this thing done.
Total's only 44.
Yuck. Like, and Seattle can't even run the ball. Like, their rookie Kenneth Walker's banged up. We don't know how Rashawn Penny's going to be. Jim that O-line, Smith, yeah, they drafted a not left tackle there for their first pick. But it's a new era in Seattle. They're going to be a tough out. Pete Carroll's going to have them going. They're going to play hard. But talent-wise, they just don't match up with Denver.
And I feel like this is going to be like a different type of Russ. Elevated Russ Wilson going into Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a little bit of a statement game to start the season. We've seen a few statement games, like Pat Mahomes. That felt like he was like, oh, yeah, you guys think I'm not that great anymore? Listen to this. 5 touchdowns. Maybe we get something similar from Danger Russ here tonight, too.
You think Russ is still capable of being that quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
It's been a few years.
Yeah, but wasn't some good years in Seattle just overall. The defense had not been what it was when they were, you know, kind of dominant. Lockett and Metcalf were there, but like we talked about, the offensive line usually struggled, and they never had much of a run game to offset anything they were doing in the pass game. But with Denver, like we heard from Ryan, weapons, average, maybe a little bit overrated, and the offensive line, maybe a bit leaky as well. So I could see that he has a good season. I don't think he's going to have a career year.
But he may need to in that division. You know, Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders, those are some good football teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he's the 8th best quarterback in the league, like if he's not on that Mahomes, Josh Allen level.
Sure.
They're not getting out of that division.
No, it's going to be really hard.
Chiefs and Chargers are really, really good.
You can't lose divisional games if you're in that group. Or else you're probably going to be on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone's going to have their other games that they make up along the way. But if you start losing a couple divisional games and get behind the 8-ball in that sense, you're going to be in down bad. That's what the kids say.
I'd be shocked if they lose tonight, ultimately. But I just think, you know, what we saw from the Chiefs this weekend. I mean, again, I am a fair weather Bills fan. I don't get to actually claim them because when they're bad, I just don't pay attention. I'm what everybody hates. But if this is all leading to the Chiefs Bills again, that's the only thing I care about this season.
All right. We'll write that down.
And I do not think the Broncos can keep pace with the Chiefs or the Chargers in any meaningful way unless Russell Wilson is a superstar again.
Yeah, and you never know with injuries and that type of thing, too, but it's going to be fun to watch. Raiders took a tough loss to L.A. All of a sudden, you're down. You're trailing. They joined us down the Alice Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, a 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner for takeout or delivery, 403-248-3344, or you can dine in at Atlas Pizza, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. We got one more segment left to go, and then we're going to say goodbye for today. And it'll be Blair and Barker time right here, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Avalanche have signed forward Evan Rodriguez to a 1-year contract for the upcoming season. Now, I don't believe we have any insiders who have dropped a number just yet, as this was a straight-up press release from the Colorado Avalanche. But Evan Rodriguez, 1-year deal with the Colorado Avalanche. 29 years old, he did set career highs pretty much across the board last season while he was with Pittsburgh. 19 goals, 24 assists, 43 points. Also played in all 82 games. He was the only Penguins player to skate in every game of the regular season. Also a career high for him. So Evan Rodriguez, another individual who I think a lot of people thought maybe a fit with the Flames. Off the board.
Yeah, we heard a lot of talk about him joining Calgary. He's a good hockey player. I think he would have fit in nicely here. But, I mean, man, the Avalanche are not going anywhere.
No. Kadri out. Rodriguez sticks around. He's a guy who can kind of play up and down, left and right, down the middle, wherever you need him. Interesting signing by Colorado. I'm very intrigued to see what the dollar comes in at for Mr. Rodriguez. So that's one little bit of news. Oh, Elliot just got this one a minute ago. 1 year, $2 million is the contract for Evan Rodriguez. So that is an interesting deal for someone that I really thought was going to be an, it could have been a nice fit here with the Calgary Flames. But alas, the Flames do make a little bit of noise over the course of the weekend. They signed Cody Eakin to a professional tryout. Eakin is 31. He's played center for almost the entirety of his career. 4 goals and 12 points while playing in 69 games with the Buffalo Sabres last season. Spent a couple of seasons with Buffalo. He spent some time with Dallas and with Vegas. I believe he was with Winnipeg for a season as well. He's had 2 40-point seasons, one where he scored 22 goals his first season as a member of the Vegas Golden Knights. That was a few years back. That was about four or five seasons ago, and now he's in a position where he'll come in and try and grab a spot on, you would assume, that bottom line or somewhere in that bottom six.
Well, and you never know with a guy like him. I mean, playing in Buffalo, that can't have been a super inspiring situation. So potentially coming in, if he can somehow nab a roster spot, you know, you never know how it'll sort of reinvigorate him playing with ultimately better teammates on a better team that, you know, is going for it this season.
Yeah, it's interesting kind of when you look at the team and where the holes might be. I don't know if I was like center. But you can never have enough centermen. You can never have enough depth down the middle. So, and maybe that gives a little bit more of an opportunity to kind of play Kevin Rooney on a wing with Dylan Dubé. Maybe they see an opportunity where he plays a little bit higher in the lineup. And then you can go Eakin on your fourth line with a Trevor Lewis and a Milan Lucic and keep Jacob Pelletier in the AHL just dominating down there. That would maybe be an option.
Well, and I mean, also potentially keep him there for 20 games, right? I mean,
he's your first call-up, for sure.
He's your first call-up, and I do
unless they need a center, and Adam Rzeczka signs and is playing in the AHL.
Yes, that's valid, but I do think, you know, that the way the roster looks on for game one of the regular season is not necessarily what it's going to look like for game 82, and, you know, you get a guy like Eakin and just give Pelletier a little bit more time to develop. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, and I don't necessarily think that it means that, you know, we don't see Pelletier this year.
The other thing that we saw over the course of the morning, Nick Suzuki of the Montreal Canadiens named their new captain. Of course, Shea Weber, his contract was dealt to Vegas earlier in the offseason. Moving out quite a bit of LTIR for the Canadiens, especially understanding that you're probably going to have Carey Price on LTIR. And you don't really want to have $19 million in dead cap on a roster. I don't think that's a lot of money. So they ended up moving him out. So you need a new captain. And Nick Suzuki announced today as the new captain. Makes sense. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to have a hot take against it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, seems like the guy.
One of the breakout players of the playoffs coming out of the bubble, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so great this most recent season, but just things as a whole weren't great and did start to find a bit of his stride when Marty St. Louis showed up and there was a bit of a shuffle to the offense and you kind of unlock Cole Caulfield's potential a little bit more. So I'm interested to see how the season goes for Suzuki. Any thoughts on the Flames not having a captain?
Like, not really. You know, I personally would have liked to have seen Michael Backlund. I think he's been here for a long time. He's been a good soldier for the club. So I feel like that's would have been nice to see him rewarded. But I also, you know, I don't know that it's necessary. And ultimately, I mean, Sutter's talked a little bit about it, and I understand the reasoning. So I don't know. I thought Michael Backlund has been here, has done so much good work for so many years. I wouldn't have minded him, you know, getting that recognition and reward from the franchise.
Now, the other interesting thing when it comes to Michael Backlund, and this is something that the head coach brought up in his interview with Eric Francis a little bit earlier on in the offseason, is they want to name a guy who's going to be here for quite some time. Michael Backlund has 2 years left. He's been an assistant captain for a very long time. But I do wonder if at the end of those 2 years, does a then 35-year-old Michael Backlund, A, sign another deal? I would assume so. But B, decide to return to Calgary? Or does he say, you know what, I've done this for a while. Maybe I do want to try my hand somewhere else via free agency. Now, granted, like I said, he's 33 right now. He's got 2 more years on his deal. Be 35, checking the market, but get yourself some performance bonuses at that point and all that type of jazz. But he's an interesting player to bring up. I've always kind of, and I don't, he's one of those middle six guys, but I think Blake Coleman should wear a letter. I don't know if it should be a C, but he's very well thought out. He seems to be pretty even keeled, has a respect of his teammates. That really helps when you walk into a room and you got 2 Stanley Cup rings on. And
sure does.
They've been 1 in 2 of the last 3 years. So there's a couple of interesting guys on the team. Another player that everyone likes to bring up is Brandon Tanev. Chris Tanev,
yep.
Not Brandon Tanev, fool.
I knew you got it wrong. It took me a second, but
I was like, that sounds incredibly wrong. Chris Tanev, another individual that we've seen on the text line before. Interesting. But I also, I think he's a great A. I don't know if he wants to come talk to the media every other day. And that's kind of one of the rules about being a captain.
Yeah.
You got to do that a lot.
You're the spokesman for the team.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, Tanev, I think these are all options. Mm-hmm. You know, Coleman's a guy who I think played well last year. I think you'd want even more from him this year. Going to be curious with a slightly longer offseason how he does. Chris Tanev, obviously a warrior. I don't know. We haven't gotten any update on sort of his recovery or when he'll be sort of available, do we? We're all sort of expecting, you know.
I believe the last time that Brad Treliving spoke, and that would have been probably after the Kadri signing, that they're hopeful that he can be ready for training camp.
Really? Wow. Okay. I totally missed that. I'll be totally transparent. So that's huge. In my mind, it was always November. I don't know why I thought that.
Recovery was going very well. And as much as it might not be full participant, I believe he's expected to kind of be around for training camp.
That's huge.
But that was from a little while ago when when General Manager Brad Treliving had spoken to the media. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on. You know, he's such an important player. You don't necessarily need him the first few games of the season. But you would like to have him out there so you can kind of use those first 10 games of the regular season to run through your pairs, similarly to what the Flames did this past season, where first 10 games, there was a lot of movement in those pairs between who was in, who was out. Zadorov sat, Shillington sat, and then eventually they found that group of three pairs with Anderson, Hanifin, Shillington, Tanev, and then Zadorov, Gabranson, and they never really looked back for the next 72 games until Chris Tanev got hurt in the playoffs. And then you had to shuffle it up. Yeah. But apart from that, you felt pretty good about it.
For sure. Well, and I mean, you've got to figure out where Uyghur fits in, right? I mean, all of us know he's a good player. I don't think a ton of us have watched him play a ton of hockey. So, I've heard lots of people say him and Tanev are going to be a pairing, but I have no idea. So, yeah, I mean, you got to get him back and figure that out. But I also just think, you know, Chris Tanev is an absolute stud. So, you obviously want him back. I mean, it's basically saying what we already know. Let's get a good hockey player back in the lineup. Yes.
Yeah, shocking. That's a really hot take. Real burning stuff there. The other signing we saw over the weekend, Mikey Anderson with the LA Kings. The 23-year-old defenseman signs a one-year, $1 million contract. That leaves just several restricted free agents on the market, which would include another Kings defenseman in Sean Durzi, who also had a pretty decent postseason. Just 9 players left that are RFAs. And currently not signed ahead of training camp, just a few weeks away. Rasmus Sandin in Toronto, Barrett Hayton in Arizona, Ryan McLeod up to QE2 in Edmonton, Jason Robertson in Dallas, Nick Hague in Vegas, Alex Formanton in Ottawa, Parker Weatherspoon in New York, and then Adam Ruzicka here with the Calgary Flames. None of them were eligible for arbitration, obviously, but restricted free agents. So we'll see how many of them end up signed and participating in camp. But there's some big ones in there. Jason Robertson had 79 points in 74 games last season, 41 goals. Barrett Hayton's a guy that you would look to take a step forward. Sean Durzi skated almost 20 minutes a night last season while playing for the Kings, especially after Drew Doughty went down. So there's some interesting little wrinkles in there as far as some restricted free agents. And people keep asking, what's going on with Adam Ruzicka? I don't know. Hasn't signed yet. That's basically it.
I asked him what's going on. He said he didn't know. Again, that does feel like something that's going to get done. It wouldn't have been, you know, given the summer that they had, it would have been pretty low on the priority list. But I can't imagine he's not.
Like, I think the best thing for Ruzicka would be to be at training camp and play.
Agreed.
And
he's been
PTO,
on that sort of on the bubble for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah.
So you got to get in there. You got to get that NHL experience and prove you belong in the league.
He's 23 years old. He'll turn 24 in May. He was drafted in 2017. It's about time to take that step.
Yeah, this is a pretty big year for him.
Yeah, so I think it would be ideal if he signed and started to play. Got with his teammates and yes, there's a little bit of a logjam at center, but that doesn't mean you can't come in and win a job in preseason. That's for sure. Getting a few texts in here on this as well, so we'll jump right into what you want to talk about. It's brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. You can save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.
What you want? 960-960.
Send in your texts. We will give them a quick read and perhaps a couple of thoughts as well. On the discussion about the captain, this says not 100% sure what the guys are like in the room, which helps a lot, but he says Rasmus Anderson. And I don't hate it, but I also, I could see him wearing an A, but I don't know about a C. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, just because I was prefaced with not knowing, I don't know what Rasmus Anderson is like in the locker room either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they're ready to roll with.
He's a bit of a goof and a bit of a troll by all accounts.
And
like it sounds
great
like,
dude,
he likes to kind of give his teammates a little bit of a ribbon, that type of stuff. I don't know. I don't know if it hits for me. This one says, are you guys going to have the Jays game on tomorrow morning? Yes, we are. We're going to have both Jays games on tomorrow morning. You're welcome. Also, Backlund for the captain.
Like, the argument for Backlund is pretty easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's necessarily correct, but it's the one that I tried to make.
He's already got the A.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
Been here forever.
He knows the culture. He knows what you're trying to...
He's been here for both of Daryl Sutter.
Yeah.
Both iterations, the first and the second. He was here for both. I could see it.
It's a pretty easy argument, but at the same time, if they are looking for a guy who's going to be captain for sort of 5-6 years, you know, there's an argument against that too.
Who says Rodriguez wasn't offered a contract by Flames but chose not to sign here? Very much a possibility. I don't think we said the opposite. Maybe that was his choice. I think in the end, bottom line, would have been a nice piece. And now he's not available.
Yeah. I mean, if it was the same money and you had the chance of going and joining the Stanley Cup champions, I certainly understand why that's attractive to you. I don't think it's a huge indictment of the Flames or of Calgary.
Thoughts on ads on player jerseys in the NHL? Whatever. Meh.
It's going to happen. All right, like
it's already started.
That's what I mean. It's like
I've seen the pictures and I went,
I don't know that we're going to get to like European soccer level.
I saw the pictures and I went, weren't those there last year? That's how little I care about them, is I actually thought that they were actually there already. And granted, there's going to be some bad ones. Like there's going to be like a, there's going to be like a bright blue logo on a Flames jersey. Probably not, because the Flames do a great job, but I'm trying to think of some rivalries. Like a big yellow bear company is the logo on the Leafs jersey. Something like that.
Is it really?
Like brown bear junk removal or something like that. there's going to be some bad match.
If the Leafs go with a junk removal company, that would be amazing. I'm assuming it'll just be Scotiabank for the Flames, right? I mean,
I guess it's going to be Scotiabank. I'm just trying to be creative here. Well,
I just don't think it's going to be junk removal.
You don't think it's going to be Big Bear junk removal, and it's going to have a big bear on the logo, and it's going to be yellow?
I will give you $10,000 that I don't have if it is a junk removal ad on the Toronto Maple Leafs jersey.
Okay.
I will owe you $10,000.
All right.
I won't necessarily give it to you.
All right. Okay.
You know what? If it is a junk removal bear on the Toronto Maple Leafs jersey, I will get a junk removal bear tattooed on my own chest.
Two men in a truck can go on the Leafs
jersey. There we go. Yeah. But my point being, guys, is the yellow from the Boston Bruins. Like, what if they had to wear, like, their rivals' colors or something related to their rivals' logo on their jersey because it was an ad, right? Like, that's what I'm getting at.
Probably
here.
Leave a sour taste in a few people's mouths.
Yeah.
In or this like hypothetical situation,
red
I agree
for Habs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this guy gets it. If it was a fire extinguisher company on the Flames, like, there you go.
that's a good one.
Oh, nice. This is funny. Edmonton's jersey sponsor has to be junk removal because this it is. Hmm? Oh. What? It's what? I can't say that. Two Jays games on the radio tomorrow. Hard enough to watch baseball, but listening is another level. That's not very nice. Ben Wagner does an excellent job calling the games. It's like a story.
I also love baseball on the radio. I find it's really nice.
And also, if there's any time to watch baseball, it's now.
Yeah, the next month.
It wasn't May. I'll tell you that for sure. Just saw the video on the 960 Instagram page, and boy, does Danny look like he's the guy outside of the bar bumming darts from everyone.
No comment. I was up at 3 in the morning. It's been an adjustment.
The Leafs literally wore black and yellow last season.
Yeah, the Bieber jerseys.
Oh.
They were reversible. Like, yeah, they had like that smiley face on the other side.
So this, and they looked awful. So this is proving my point. That they would sell out for money.
Yeah, all about selling jerseys, right?
Unbelievable.
I mean, I think we're all on the same page here that advertising on jerseys is coming.
No, we know that it is. The discussion is about the
But how funny it would be to have a junk removal bear on the Leafs jersey. I agree.
What else do we have here?
I did like the fire extinguisher company on the Flames.
If
it's
credit
to that guy.
If it's a bear, it'll be A&W. Yes, but that also doesn't have the yellow. I think I really botched my analogy here. I think that the way that everyone is responding, I think that I might have botched this. There was a few people who liked your joke about more box when we were talking about the Pinder report, and one of the new changes is that there's going to be a pitch clock, so there's going to be a lot more box in the game. And who doesn't like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, it was not anything other than me wanting to joke around about box and baseball.
And how ridiculous of a play they are. And they're like they're like the Rouge in the CFL.
You know me. I love a rundown. I love a balk. I spent a full commercial break just watching some great mound charges.
Yeah.
You ever seen a mound charge in person?
In person?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen one in person.
2011, I'd lived here for about a year, and I was back home in Toronto, and my sister was back. She lived in Germany at the time, maybe Switzerland. She lived in a European country at the time, and she was back with her boyfriend, and we went to a Jays game the day I got back, and second inning, Brett Lowry started chirping, and they charged the mound, and it was the only time I've ever seen one. There weren't any really punches thrown, but all-time in-person sports highlight for me.
Really?
Nothing better. The whole crowd gets into it. You're up. You're so excited that these guys are maybe going to fight.
That they're like yelling closely?
Yeah, exactly.
Talking angrily in close proximity?
Yeah.
Unless you're Rougned Odor, then you're swinging that right out. But
yeah, Brett Lowry wasn't doing that.
No, he probably wasn't.
No.
Nice sleeve tattoos, though.
Yeah, I wonder what he's up to.
Does he still play in the league, Patty?
No.
You would know that?
No, he's gone.
He's old as the hills?
He's been out for a while now. He was in Milwaukee, I believe, last. No, actually, he spent time with the White Sox in 2016. That was the last time he was in the majors.
Mm, 6 years ago.
Well, I feel like Brett Lowry's having a good time. I feel like he's got a speedboat, just hangs out on a speedboat all day.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a boat guy, doesn't
he? Yeah, would love a good speedboat.
Yeah, I do love a good speedboat as well, but you kind of have to be able to throw a little money around.
You should ask Brett Lowry his thoughts on junk removal brown bears on jerseys.
Yeah, we'll try and get him on the show. Pat, do you get him on the show?
Yeah, we'll reach out.
You get Brett Lowry on the show?
We'll find Brett Lowry.
You got everybody else.
I mean, so. I got Ricky Romero. Maybe he knows. Maybe he can get me Brett Lowry's number.
There you go.
Boat talk with Brett Lowry, new segment.
He's going to be like, I can't swim, guys. Like, yeah. What are you guys talking about? What you want to talk about is brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Danny's in for the rest of the week. We'll be doing shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, we're going to be live at the Flames Charity Golf Tournament. So very much looking forward to that. Chatting with some Flames and some members of the club. Up next, Blair and Barker. John Schneider is going to join the show as well. I believe that's going to be in the middle of hour number two. So 10:30 Calgary time, I think. But that'll be within the next couple of hours. 9 to 11 o'clock in the morning is Blair and Barker. John Schneider's going to join the program there. CBS Sports will take you up until noon. That'll be Logan Gordon with Sportsnet Today. Jays Plus with Blake Murphy goes at 1. And then it's going to be the Eric Francis Show back on our airwaves. It's going to be at noon for a lot of the shows moving forward. But today on at 2 o'clock, solo for a full hour every Monday. For Horse Racing Alberta, live standardbred racing every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino, and at Track on 2 in Lacombe every Sunday. Thehorses.com, 18+. Please play responsibly. Flames Talk with Steinberg and Logo is back as well. And then we will have the series opener, 5 games between the Rays and the Mariners. 5 games because there were some games postponed at the start of the season when the strike was going on. These are rescheduled games from the start of the season. So that's why it's a 5-gamer instead of a 3.
It's a big, big, big series.
Yes. Yeah. That is for sure. It's going to be a fun one tonight. Enjoy it, friends. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll break it all down for you. Adnan Virk's going to join us as he usually does. So we'll get into the Jays and the MLB playoff race next, tomorrow. Sports at 960 The Fan.